It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe.
Baseball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, eight-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by quarter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run and get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah,
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have had the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome into the show, everyone. Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us for another hour. A lot to talk about tonight, as you heard last hour. And, of course, all day from the SEC tournament. It is tournament time. It is put up or shut up for the Auburn Tigers in the postseason. And the ongoings in Nashville, Tennessee this weekend. Hopefully Auburn will be a part of that deep into the weekend. The opponent for tomorrow in game one for the Auburn Tigers on Friday, which you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5, will be South Carolina. They topped Arkansas today. And just looking back at the South Carolina-Auburn game, which was a month ago on the 14th of February, Auburn completely dominated South Carolina, who was one of the top teams in the SEC this regular season. Jalen Williams, 8 for 11 from the field, 5 for 7 from three-point range in that ball game, 23 points. Jani Broome, also 8 for 15 from the floor, 4 for 5 from three-point range, and 21 points. Chad Baker-Mazzara, 4 for 4, 2 for 2, 10 points. Trey Donaldson chipped in with 11 points, and a lot of players chipped in single digits, as has been the case all year. As far as the team totals from the field, Auburn shot 61% on February 14th against the Gamecocks of South Carolina, and 60% from three-point range, and 89.5%, almost 90% from the free throw line. Points in the paint in that ballgame, 36. Points off turnovers, 25. Points on the fast break, 16. And points from the bench, 39, as we mentioned a second ago. A lot of people chipping in that ball game against South Carolina as Auburn won by 40 points. We talked about that a lot on the show a month ago. An amazing performance by the Auburn Tigers. We're going to be talking about that with Coach Sonny Smith tonight in just a minute. And also Scott Griffin will join us to talk some SEC basketball a little bit later on in the hour. And we'll also get into some college football, some Auburn spring practice tonight as well. Glad you're with us. And we have some comments from Coach Bruce Pearl this week. You heard Coach Pearl earlier, but some comments from Coach Pearl about the ball game coming up tomorrow and how his team will prepare and what will be the keys to victory for Auburn this weekend in Nashville in the SEC tournament.
I think physicality and remaining unselfish would be the two keys to our ability to continue to advance in postseason play. Will we be able to step it up physically? Because they tend to let you play during the tournament, so we got to be able to play through a lot more contact that won't be called, and then continue to share the ball, make each other better offensively, which I think has been part of the key of why some of our offensive numbers have been so good down the stretch.
No question about that. The Tigers haven't won every game in the last month, but they've been pretty good, and they have scored a lot of points in most of their last outing. So the offensive output at this point is good, and that's something that's a positive, I think, as you head toward March. Also, a number of young players on the roster are new players for the Auburn Tigers that haven't experienced an SEC tournament. Jani Broome, Jalen Williams, Dylan Cardwell, those type guys have been there. But Coach Pearl was also asked, would he prepare or say anything to the younger players, the new players, about playing in this tournament this weekend?
I don't think I would talk to any of the guys that haven't been in the SEC tournament any differently than the guys that have been. I actually think that's something that players will talk themselves about what, you know, kind of what to expect and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, my job would be obviously to prepare them and use, like, in other words, for example, again, it's late, it's March, and, you know, the way the games will be officiated, most likely, as long as it's a clean game, they're going to let the kids play. They're just not going to try to get in the way of things. So you're going to get fouled sometimes. It's not going to get called. You got to score through contact. You got to can't be disrupted quite so much by a hand check. You know, flopping's not going to get rewarded. Just the way the game will be. And then, obviously, again, the physicality of the – so my job would be to prepare the players, you know, sort of for that. Again, because I think the kids like each other, trust each other, they know, you know, I think they know what they got to do. And you know, it's step-up time. You know, it's you step up, you stay. You don't, you go home.
All right, so the thoughts of Coach Bruce Pearl. And again, we'll be talking plenty of college basketball, SEC basketball tonight with Coach Sonny Smith coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll get his insights into the tournament, and we'll also chat with Scott Griffin about college basketball a little bit later on. And as we're watching the games here, we'll update you on all the happenings in Nashville, as well as if you can't watch them at home while we are. But anyway, we'll touch on some college football tonight as well. Spring practice is underway with the second week. A lot of new faces on the Auburn coaching staff as well as the roster this spring, of course. And one of those guys is the new co-defensive coordinator, Charles Kelly, who played his college football at Auburn. And he was asked this week what it's like to be back on the plains at his alma mater.
Oh, it's been great. You know, it's been fun working here with a great staff. Grateful for the opportunity to be here with Coach Freeze. He's done a great job since he's been here, and you know, his standard is the standard, and you know, that's what my job here is, to, you know, to make sure that we live up to that standard. But you know, it's been good seeing a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. Take a lot of pride in this place. So you know, every day we go out on this field, you know, we're trying to live up to a tradition that a lot of people set.
And no question about that. The standards are set high at Auburn. Coach Hugh Freeze trying to get back to that championship level this spring with spring practice and sneaking up on the 2024 season. We will hear a lot more from the defensive coaches on the Auburn football team coming up a little bit later tonight as we talk college football. But we'll kick it off when we come back, as we said, with Coach Sonny Smith, the Hall of Fame coach and former coach of the Auburn Tigers, and Scott Griffin coming along just a little bit later. We will have lots to talk about tonight as far as the SEC tournament, the Auburn Tigers, their march through March Madness, and what we can expect tomorrow against South Carolina. Again, a game that you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5. The tip-off should be about 2:30 Friday afternoon. Hopefully, we won't have overtime in the first game of the early stanza at the SEC tournament in Nashville, but that was the case on the opening night. So we'll update you on the tip time as much as we can. Anyway, when we come back, Coach Sonny Smith is with us to talk college basketball. Glad you're with us on Tiger Talk Overtime. Back in just a minute to start the conversation. In sports, every point counts.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much, and welcome back to the show, everyone. We're checking you out the SEC tournament here, and ready to talk some college basketball. The Texas A&M Aggies and the Ole Miss Rebels playing in Nashville right now. Pretty close ball game up there. And we want to welcome into our microphones an old friend, the former head coach of the Auburn Tigers, a Hall of Famer. Coach Sonny Smith is joining us tonight. And, Coach, great to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. How's everybody?
We're doing good. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Doing good. Watching basketball. My eyes are crossed. I watched so much today.
Yeah,
a lot. Didn't learn much, but I watched a lot.
As I mentioned, Texas A&M and Ole Miss going right now, and the Aggies a little bit of a must-win situation to get in the tournament. What do you think of this ball game, and what do you think of their chances?
From what I'm hearing and what I've been told, and people that seem to be in the know, I think they're in. But I don't think losing this game would. I think it would put it a little bit in jeopardy. But I think then probably if they win this, I think they'll be in.
Yeah, the Auburn Tigers get South Carolina tomorrow. The Gamecocks victorious today over Arkansas. A little bit of a close game early. 80-66 was the final, and that'll be an interesting matchup tomorrow, Coach. The Tigers took care of South Carolina in the regular season, as you well know. You were there, I think, 101-61. So it'll be an interesting rematch.
I say this a lot, and people say, well, you should say that. When Auburn shoots the ball, they're very difficult to beat. And I think if you had to give a scouting report on this game, I would say if Auburn shoots the ball, Auburn will win the game. And I think they have to shoot. And the reason I say that, you're playing eight or nine guys. And if you get both of them shooting at the same time, you're a very difficult time. You're a very difficult team to beat. And I'm thinking that that's got to happen. Auburn needs to, they've been playing nine guys, ten guys all year. They've been getting production out of those people. And if they go into this game and they get this close to the same kind of prediction, the production that they've had before, I think they'll win the game.
Yeah, Jalen Williams with a great game last time around, and also Janai Broome, I think, hit 4 out of 5 from the three-point line. So when the Tigers do that, they're pretty hard to beat, right?
Well, to me, you know, when people say, what's the Auburn got to do to win? I say they do everything extremely well, except sometimes they're a little off from a standpoint of consistency in shooting the ball. And if they shoot the ball, they got a chance to beat anybody because they handle the ball well. They take care of the basketball. They move the basketball. Their defense is solid. They rebound the ball extremely well. And sometimes a little catch that they have is they'll go for periods where they don't shoot the ball real well. And I think that's the key for going into tournament play is being able to shoot the ball well. If they do that, I'd pick the Tigers.
Yeah. That's a key for a lot of people, I guess.
Well, that's true.
that South Carolina game earlier in the season, though, Coach, I can remember at the end of the game just sitting there watching the TV screen and thinking, 40 points, 101-61. Is that just an anomaly, or is it a matchup thing with South Carolina? Because they look pretty good today in the second half.
Well, I think it's a part of being at home, you know, that type of thing. And I think when you play two teams, when you play two teams like Bruce does, when you get them out there and they're both clicking at the same time, you're a very difficult team to beat, and that's when you have those run-up scores. I don't think that's going to happen very often unless you have those teams, those two teams clicking at the same time. Now, that's not that he substitutes five at a time, but basically he's playing two teams or nine guys with a lot of minutes. And it comes down, only if I ever, when somebody talks to me about the Auburn Tigers, I say, if they shoot, they can be in any game.
Yeah. And the last game, I think it was, Denver Jones was 7-for-9 from three-point range. He seems to be coming on a bit here toward the end of the season.
I think it's just a part of realizing that he can take shots when he wants to. I think early, and I don't think it's because of what anybody told him, I think it's because the players he's playing with might have been a little bit better than the guys he played with in junior college. I think he was kind of given to them a little bit, you know, letting them take the shots. But I think he realized, I can make these shots, I'm going to get these shots, and sometimes they're going to fall off of me and leave me a little bit open. And I think some of that happened early in the season, and I think that's why he's shooting more now.
Yeah. Chatting with former Auburn head coach Sonny Smith tonight, talking about Auburn basketball and the SEC tournament, which is – ongoing as we speak. Texas A&M and Ole Miss on the court right now. Earlier today, Mississippi State 70, LSU 60, and as we mentioned, South Carolina a winner over Arkansas. Later tonight, Georgia and Florida. And coach, that Florida ball club is pretty hot right now too. They took care of Auburn and Alabama and some other teams down in Gainesville.
I think it's going to, when it comes to the Florida team, can they play as well away from home as they do at home? If they can do that, and then you say, well, they're both teams playing on a neutral court, and that has something to do with it. And I think if you get a team that's under the same as considerations that they are, that they play well at home and don't shoot well on the road, it'll be a heck of a game between the two teams. But I expect this to be a very good game. Very close game.
Yeah. I think I saw where Todd Golden got an extension today as the Florida head coach, and also Lamont Paris of South Carolina. Have you had a chance to get to know him or talk to him or any impression of him so far?
Are you talking about Todd Golden?
I was talking Lamont Paris at South Carolina.
Lamont Paris. I know Todd Golden. Uh-huh. I spoke at the banquet when Todd Golden was playing high school basketball out west.
Really?
The principal or the president at the university there in that city used to be my president at East Tennessee State. So they asked me to come out and speak, and Todd was in the audience. I think he was a high school player at the time.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So I met him then. How well I know him, that's a different story. But I do know this. He's a solid basketball coach. He's in all phases of the game. And that, and you get that at a place like Florida that recruits itself to a certain degree, then you got a good combination, and they'll be dangerous in this tournament.
I was going to say it might be dangerous, and speaking of dangerous, I just watching South Carolina. I didn't watch them a lot this year. Obviously, they had a great season, and the game at Auburn wasn't probably, you know, the best game to watch. Yeah. But today, watching them in the ball game against Arkansas, they run that pick and roll really, really well in a number of different ways that they run it. I thought they did that exceptionally well today.
Well, what they do, they'll run the pick and roll from the side. They'll run it from a high post right in front. And they'll come out of the post area and pick it on what we call the short corner. They will actually go pick that and roll, and they'll lob it up in the air. I never seen as many pick and roll positions as they run, and they run them effectively. Mm-hmm. And the pick and roll in the corner has been very, very effective for them.
Yeah, it really was. It was very effective.
And they're hitting the screener more than they may maybe hit the roller. You very rarely do you see that in college basketball because the defense has gotten so good.
Yeah, and some great passing, I thought, by South Carolina today to get the ball to the roller, to the right person.
They're a good passing team. They're a well-coached team.
Coach Pearl mentioned in his press conference this week, Sonny, about the keys to Auburn in the postseason. He mentioned physicality. What do you think about that? What exactly does he mean by that? Does that mean Janai and Dylan and the guys inside, or does that mean the team as a whole?
I think he realizes we've got depth compared to other teams, and I think he needs all nine or eight, however he's going to play those big minutes, to be very physical in both positions, not just. And I think if anybody was looking at it, they'd think he meant the post players a little more than that. And if you didn't know and go to practice, you would think the same thing. But you go. I think he's talking to five starters in that instead of just one position.
Yeah. Chatting again with Coach Sonny Smith for a couple more minutes here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us on a Thursday night. The Tigers taking on South Carolina tomorrow. The pregame will be at 2 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the tip-off hopefully at 2:30 tomorrow. Coach, I wanted to ask you quickly about a couple of guys on the team. We had a chance to talk with Chad Baker-Mazzara last week, and he's made quite an impression on this Auburn basketball team. I feel like he can be a key if they get to make a run in the 16 or the 8 in this tournament.
Yeah, I think he'd been a go-to guy before he transferred here. And I think he didn't look at himself as that here. And I think they've been on him to take more shots, and they're putting him into positions where he can score. And I think that was the only tip he needed, I think. I think he was one early before he really found his way here around. I think he was moving the ball a lot of times when he could have made shots. And he was moving the ball into him where he could have made moves off the dribble. And he's good at both. And also, he's good at going and getting the ball back as a rebounder, as a taller guy.
Yeah, he really is. And the other thing I think of, Coach, is the point guard play with Trey Donaldson. And those guys are going to have to pick it up just a little bit. I hear the music playing, Coach. That means we're just about out of time for this segment. But really appreciate you being with us tonight. Enjoy the ball game tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of them this evening. And hope your eyes don't cross too much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Coach Sonny Smith, former coach of the Auburn Tigers. And once again, the Tigers in action tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the pregame here, and 2:30, hopefully the tip-off. Texas A&M and Ole Miss going at it right now. We'll update you on the score. We'll talk to Scott Griffin coming up. Some more college basketball in just a minute. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us. We're chatting about some college basketball, the Aggies and the Rebels going at it in the SEC tournament. And we are set to talk some more about the tournament, about the Auburn Tigers, about the tournament as a whole. Scott Griffin is on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line with us. And, Scott, always good to have you. How are you?
How you doing, Doug?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Tremendous.
Getting into some hoops.
There you go. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I love it. I'm already into it. I'm a week into it. I saw Samford win. I've been following them. I've called a few of their games this year. They're really terrific 29 wins. So I did the Gulf South Conference last week, so I'm kind of already into tournament play even before the SEC tournament.
Yeah, it's amazing this time of year. I know you and I are college basketball fanatics, but you know, you can watch college basketball, really any kind of basketball, at a lot of different levels and see some really great teams and some really great players.
Oh, there's no doubt. And you see players that might have not been recruited so heavily, you know, at one time. Because you think about, let's say, like I went to the Tennessee-Alabama game. I covered that for CBS 42 a week or two ago, whenever it was. And it was just amazing because the best player on the floor, the best player in the league, is Connect. he started his career at Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the chances, right? And then Mark Sears, the best player for Alabama, started his career at Ohio University. So stuff like that can happen. You know what I mean? And Kinnick's going to be probably a top 10 draft pick. So, and he started his career in Northern Colorado. So it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And what a player he is with 39 and 40 and whatever he gets per night for the Tennessee Volunteers. Let's talk about this tournament first, Scott, as a whole. What Tennessee obviously is the top seed, winning the regular season. You've got some teams after that that were very, very close, and Tennessee wasn't that far on top, but Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, all of these teams are really, really close. Can you pick somebody out of the hat and make them a favorite in this thing, or is it just going to be bedlam over the weekend?
I don't like the way Alabama can't defend, okay? They can score. They're fast. They've got a lot of guys they can play. I don't like the fact that they can't get stops and they can get out-rebounded. So I don't know what could happen. I think they would have to be hot to win this thing, okay?
Yeah.
I like conversely, I like the way Auburn defends. They've got one of the top 10 defenders probably in college basketball, and Johnny Broome, and and he also can score inside, obviously. He's a presence. So when it's difficult to get baskets, there's a guy that can get you a key basket, and he can make a stop as well inside. So I kind of like that in tournament play, neutral floor play. And people don't realize how different that is. Tennessee, I still like them because they defend. Everybody defends for them. And Kentucky is playing well right now. As you know, they didn't play well the whole year, but suddenly the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been really playing well, and they upset Tennessee on their home floor just a week or two ago. So of those four that are waiting, I think Alabama is the fourth out of those that I would give the chance to advance. I still have Tennessee first, you know, Auburn, Kentucky throw in a pile, right, and see. Kentucky's hot, but Auburn's really good. So, you know, South Carolina's having to go an extra day. But I've kind of got a philosophy on that too, Doug, because I think, you know, Florida, you know, and whoever they play, Georgia, the winner of that going against Alabama and then South Carolina going against Auburn, you know, I think it's so early that if you've played, you kind of got an advantage over the higher seeds. Does that make sense? Just because you've played on the floor and seen that, and it's not new to you, and it's so early in the tournament.
Yeah, they mentioned that today a little bit with South Carolina, you know, that Arkansas had played a game. They were kind of used to the surroundings, and it took South Carolina a little bit of time to get used to it and get rolling.
Right, yeah, and I think there's something to that. And South Carolina is obviously 5, Auburn's a 4, so they're really close. You know, I still think Auburn's going to win that basketball game, but again, tournament play, one game and out, who knows?
And Scott, you mentioned Florida, who could be, they played Georgia in the late game tonight. Maybe one of the hottest teams in the SEC, and I was going to ask you about these matchups. I think Alabama got the toughest draw, probably having to play Florida tomorrow, a team that beat them and beat Auburn also by 20 down in Gainesville. So what kind of role does that game, the previous game, play in tomorrow's matchups? Do you think Alabama and Florida think about that at all? And also, talking with Sonny Smith earlier in the show, Auburn beat South Carolina by 40 earlier in the season. Does that matter at all tomorrow?
I mean, I think it matters to South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, 40, that's embarrassing, and that's just bizarre, right? But just like Auburn losing to Florida by 20, I mean, you know, or anybody losing to anybody by 20 or 30, it's just, it's kind of bizarre, but those things can happen when things go right. I definitely don't think South Carolina's 40 points worse than Auburn, and I obviously don't think Auburn's 20 points worse than Florida. I think those kind of things can happen and take a life of their own in a certain game. But on a neutral floor, you know, nothing like that should happen. And it really gets down to, you know, who defends, who gets quality shots, you know, and rebounding. And then, of course, officiating, how the whistle blows can be a determining factor as well. So I expect close games, South Carolina, Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee, even, you know, Kentucky, if they take on Ole Miss, or A&M, because I love the way both those teams defend. And yeah. Then Alabama, Florida, I think that's a really competitive, you know, tomorrow for the SEC.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You got to get the good shots and defend, and you got to make those shots when you get them. Visiting with Scott Griffin a little bit about Southeastern Conference basketball and the SEC tournament. And Scott, I wanted to ask you, too. I mentioned it to Sonny a little bit ago, too. But Todd Golden and also Lamont Paris, who was the coach of the year this year, not only in the SEC, maybe in the country. But they both got extensions today or in the past day or so. And just thinking about John Calipari, Bruce Pearl, you know, any of the SEC coaches, how much of a role do they play in a tournament, an SEC tournament or March Madness, or is it more about the players and who gets hot at the right time?
No, I think a coach can definitely have a factor in that. I mean, Bruce Pearl went to the Sweet 16 before anybody knew who he was, right? That's kind of how he put his stamp, his name on the staff of college basketball and how he ascended through the ranks to get better jobs. Calipari, you know, is obviously a great coach. I think it really comes more into play on that second game. You know, if you can win the first game in the NCAA, I'm talking about, not the SEC tournament, but the NCAA tournament, then you've got a quick turnaround. So your assistants have to do a wonderful job, you know, scouting teams that they probably don't know about. They've got, you know, guys that they can trust. They get intel pretty quickly. But the head coach is really the guy that can really make a difference in that quick turnaround, in my opinion, just because you got to get your team ready. You got to prepare them. You got to know how hard to push them. Can you practice hard on the day after? You know, and then the game day practice, know when to back off, know when to press their buttons. And an experienced coach like a Pearl, like a Calipari, knows how to do that.
Two things that I heard Bruce Pearl say when I was driving in this evening. He talked about two things that we've talked about all year, chemistry and depth for the Auburn Tigers. And you talked about, you know, when you get in the tournament, you have back-to-back games. You have Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday games. So the depth becomes a part of the game there. And the chemistry part, I think, is interesting. He, you know, as opposed to Auburn last year, Coach Pearl said – several different ways. This team, they just like each other. They like playing together. Yeah. They like practicing together. They just like being around each other. And that makes a difference, I think.
I don't think there's any question about it. If they like hanging out with each other, they're going to go to war for each other against whoever they play. They're going to practice harder. They're going to have credibility with their teammates. Because there's always a guy that's going to, you know, pick up the rest of the team that the head coach or an assistant leans on to get the guys going when it's the doldrums of practice, right? So, and they have credibility to do that. I think any excellent team that goes a long way probably has, if not everybody, most of the core players liking each other. And I think that's definitely it at Auburn. I think Alabama, and that's the two teams I watch, obviously, up close and personal, does the same thing. I mean, I think this team, although they lack defensive intensity a lot of times and rebounding sides and side, I do think they have probably outdone what their roster says because they do like each other and they genuinely care and they don't care who gets the credit. I think same thing for Auburn.
Yeah, exactly right. Texas A&M starting to stretch it out a little bit on Ole Miss 54-45. Scott, the Aggies, and you mentioned Buzz a minute ago, they're a little bit on the bubble as far as the NCAA tournament. What do you think? Are they in right now?
Well, you know, they say, what, 7 or 8 for the SEC? The top four are safe. I think South Carolina's safe. You know, if you look at it, I would say A&M is in. Wouldn't you?
I would think so. Yes.
Blow today, you know, and weird things happen. Possibly not, but I would think Florida and A&M are in. And then after that, you're kind of looking around, and Mississippi State is hopeful.
Yeah, I think they're in too, but we'll see what happens on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
But interesting game. The Aggies, as I mentioned, with about a 10-point lead right now. And how many teams, Scott, do you think will or are really capable of doing something special this year? Maybe a 16 or an 8 or who knows, a Final Four out of these SEC teams?
Oh, I think Tennessee, you know, when I saw them in person, I mean, I've been watching, but when I saw them in person and connect, you know, on Alabama's home floor where they had not lost in a couple of years, I don't think, right? And then Tennessee comes in, connect, they do a great defensive job on him and hold him to 13, and Tennessee wins the game because three other guys went off and they defended like crazy.
We got to get that recipe.
That's the Final Four team. Tennessee's a Final Four team. So even if Connect is off or he gets guarded and he's not a great defensive player, they're still really good defensively. You have to help with his guy a lot, but he's so good offensively they play him. But even Rick Barnes holds him, you know, to a high esteem to make that happen. I think they've got enough depth. I think they rebound the ball. I think they're a Final Four team. I think Auburn is obviously a team that could make the Sweet 16. And who knows, which, if you make the Sweet 16, you're a game away from the 8. So if I say 16, you obviously can make the 8. Kentucky, boy, they're hot. They've improved a ton. They've improved as much as Calipari's teams have in the last few years, and I've seen, because normally his teams go backwards, I think. They're good, and then they go down. This one has ascended up. So who knows? Alabama, I don't think – I mean, I think they would be – ecstatic if they made a 16. It depends on their draw, and it depends on if they hit their shot. You know, unless they just suddenly get intensity on defense, I don't expect a lot from them.
Yeah. Scott, it's going to be fun to watch, as you and I know very well, college basketball season. Appreciate you joining us tonight, and we'll do it again very soon.
Yes, sir, Doug. Thanks, sir.
All right. Scott Griffin joining us to talk some college basketball, some SEC basketball. And always fun to do that. We'll chat about some college football and Auburn spring football practice. The second spring for Coach Hugh Freeze. He has some new faces on the coaching roster and the playing roster. We'll chat about that on the way back. Glad you're with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night, and we have been talking a lot of college basketball tonight. And for this segment, we're going to talk a little college football. And we had a chance to chat a little bit this week with some of the new defensive coaches and the defensive coaches that have been on the staff as well. And Coach Freeze has two new coordinators this year, actually three new coordinators with the co-defensive coordinators on the defensive side of the football. We want to start to get you acquainted with the new hires a little bit and hear from some of the old guys as well about some of the players that are excelling in this spring practice so far, even though we've only had three practices so far. But first on the list is DJ Durkin, who spent the last four seasons at Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher, and he is the new co-defensive coordinator for the Auburn Tigers and Hugh Freeze. He will coach the linebackers this coming season as the staff has shifted around just a little bit. We'll talk some more about that in just a minute. But again, DJ Durkin at the mic this week talking about his new experience coming to Auburn?
I mean, it's just been great. When you come to a new place, getting to meet new people, I think it's all about the people. People make places what they are, and it's been fantastic. There's great staff here. I'm enjoying getting to know our players, getting to work with them on the field, and you know, we're three practices in, but it's been good so far.
Okay, DJ Durkin, a man of few words, but we'll be hearing more and more from him as the spring goes on about the progress of this defense. The other co-defensive coordinator for the Auburn Tigers is Charles Kelly, who comes from Colorado, where he was the defensive coordinator for Deion Sanders last season. Charles is an Auburn man. He played for Coach Dye in the 1980s, 86 through 89, I think, at Auburn for the Auburn Tigers and Coach Pat Dye. He's been around the block a lot, coaching college football. He's been in Alabama. He's been at Tennessee. He's been at Florida State. He's been a number of places, and he will replace Zach Etheridge coaching the safeties this year for the Auburn Tigers, as well as being the co-defensive coordinator. And he had a chance to talk to us a little bit about what he sees as the highlights so far this spring in practice.
You know, I think the energy's been really good. The effort's been good. You know, guys are trying to play fast. I mean, we've got a lot to learn, as you can imagine. But, you know, making sure that we don't settle on the standard and don't let our players settle on the standard. I mean, there's a championship standard that you have to have. Champions do certain things to win. And that's what we got to do on an everyday basis. So, but I've been really pleased with the effort and, you know, what I've seen. And, working with these coaches, we got a great bunch of coaches a lot of knowledge. And hopefully, you know, we can make sure we keep doing that consistently. And when we're consistent, we'll get results.
All right. I think Coach Charles Kelly is really going to be a nice addition to the coaching staff this year, and once again, he'll be coaching the safeties. His cohort in the defensive backfield coaching the cornerbacks is a familiar face to the Auburn Tigers, back again this year after a short stint away last year. Coach Wesley McGriff, the crime dog, who had a little difference of opinion, we'll call it, with the former defensive coordinator, but he's back on the staff for Coach Hugh Freeze this spring as the cornerbacks coach, and we ask him about the cornerbacks who have stood out this spring. Cornerback is a place where Auburn is going to have to fill some holes this coming season. They have some great young talent, but they're going to have to step up and make some plays. So here's what Crime Dog said about his cornerbacks so far this spring.
Well, you know, you really hate as a coach singling guys out. And there's a handful of guys that's doing some good things, that's really trending in the right direction. But I would say the guy that's probably made the most improvement, I would have to say Coach Hood. 24. You can see it, you know, on the grass. But he's one of those guys that he put a lot in the classroom and it translates onto the field. But there are other guys that's doing well. But if you ask me to single out one guy that has made a quantum leap, I would say it's Colton Hood.
And Colton Hood, the nephew of Roderick Hood, who played at Auburn in the early 2000s. You might have heard on our show a couple weeks ago, Jason Campbell talking about Roderick. But Colton seems to be having a great spring so far. Another guy that has moved positions this spring is Josh Aldridge, who has been with Coach Hugh Freeze for a while now. He was at Liberty for 4 years with Coach Freeze, the co-defensive coordinator there, very successful. The Broyles Award candidate. And he has moved to coach the edge rushers this year, the edge linebackers or rushers, whichever you would call them. And so same question to Josh Aldridge. We ask him who has stood out to him so far in the few days of spring practice.
Well, I don't think you can not talk about Keldrick Falk and Jalen McLeod. You know, both those guys are leaders. They play really hard. You know, you forget that Keldrick's only a sophomore. He played in so many games and had such a big year. And then Jalen is a guy who we had big expectations for last year, had a good year, but he was banged up the whole season. So I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder right now, and he's looked really good in the first three practices.
Okay, so that'll be another key group for the Auburn Tigers this coming fall. Need a little depth As far as the edge rushers, we'll see what happens there as far as the young guys moving up. And the final guy on the defensive staff, Vontrell King-Williams, who was a graduate, not a graduate assistant, a defensive analyst last year for Coach Hugh Freeze. He's been with Coach Freeze a little bit in the past and moved around to a few schools. But he was promoted when Coach Garrett left for the NFL to the defensive line coach, a popular pick among the players on the defensive line that he is now coaching. And obviously he is raring to go in spring practice and taking on those new responsibilities.
Really excited. Really excited for a lot of the guys. I love the transfers that we brought in. I love the young guys that we brought in. Malik Blockton is one. I think has a bright future. But, you know, super excited about the future and this upcoming season.
Aside from Malik, anyone that's really stood out to you so far?
Oh, yeah. You know, love Gage. Trill Carter has done well. Jason has done well. Still getting him to want him to dominate the way he can. But we have a good group.
All right, the thoughts of Vontrell King-Williams, a new defensive line coach. Going to be really fun to watch those guys. I think we have a really good staff on both sides of the football this year, so that is going to be interesting. A few more practices for those guys and Coach Hugh Freeze. And again, A-Day coming up April the 6th in a couple of weeks here. So you might want to get your tickets lined up for that if you're heading to the Plains. A lot of activity on the Plains in Auburn that weekend. Several teams in action that weekend, as always. And mentioning that, this weekend, the SEC tournament in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, the Auburn basketball team and Bruce Pearl are there to play in Nashville tomorrow is game one. You can hear it here on FM Talk 106.5, the pregame at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and the tip-off around 2:30. That's when it's scheduled to tip off. Hopefully we'll hit that tip time. Also, the Auburn baseball team is in Nashville to take on Vanderbilt this weekend. Both teams ranked very high. And the Auburn gymnastics team is in Nashville to take on Kentucky in a special event this weekend as well. So lots going on this weekend. Texas A&M up by about 10 over Ole Miss. Looking forward to the nightcap with Georgia and Florida, and again, Auburn and South Carolina coming up tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5. That's about all the time we have for tonight. Thanks for joining us here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody. We'll see you soon.